Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Like winter or an overused meme, automation is coming. Artificial intelligence is already here in narrow ways. Think smart voice technology. But AI represents a paradigm shift, especially in the workplace. Recent research suggests that up to 42 million American workers will be forced out of their current jobs because of automation. This week, we have an author who is wondering aloud, is the American way of doing business broken? His conclusion, maybe, but it's definitely outdated.
We've got devices in our pockets that are stronger than the computers that took us to the moon, and yet productivity growth is totally stalled, and nobody really can say why. All these economists are scratching their heads, and I feel like I'm standing on a soapbox screaming, it's the bureaucracy. Like, that's why we can't get any of these benefits, is because, you know, the 15 layers of red tape wrapped around the handle in IT say we can't use the tools.
Some examples of, hey, you're doing it wrong, before we do the interview. A bank that abandoned traditional budgeting only to outperform its competition for decades. A team that saved $3 million a year by canceling one monthly meeting.
I think the bravery works in both directions, right? The leader needs to be brave to trade one kind of control for another and to trade one kind of role that they play for another. And that takes bravery, and that can be challenging for the ego. And the person at the edge, the person, it's an individual contributor, has to be brave to speak up and say, you know what? This isn't working.
And finally, a healthcare provider with an HQ of just 50 people supporting more than 14,000 in the field named Best Place to Work year after year. Bravely forming a new way of working starts now.
This is Aaron Dignan, founder of The Ready and author of Brave New Work.
And the subtitle for that is, are you ready to reinvent your organization? I got to tell you, so many books are coming across my desk that deal in this area, your area of expertise, and yours being one of the better ones. It seems to me the pace of change through technology and other things are causing kind of an existential crisis. Are businesses having to rethink the way that they operate, period, on a very basic and primal level?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that the way we work was invented on a factory floor 100 years ago, and for the most part hasn't changed. I mean, I start most of my speeches and presentations with a randomly selected picture of an org chart, and I ask people what year it's from, and they can't carbon date the thing within 100 years. They have no idea, because it really hasn't changed. And yet everything else has, right? I mean, you've seen, obviously, these incredible innovations in technology and the way, you know, our social system works, our culture. We have rockets that can land themselves. But we still basically work in these silos, these hierarchies, these bureaucracies that were, you know, created to make sure we could manufacture cornflakes. And so I do think there's a fundamental crisis. The world is dramatically faster paced, more interconnected, more global. People demand more of work than they used to, right? It's not enough to have a job. We want to have a job that has meaning, that has purpose, that helps us feel like we're living our best life. So I think that, you know, the bar is raised.
You have used the phrase advanced capitalism. I have personally said end stage capitalism. If we don't pivot and change the way we do these things, I'd like to know what your take is on that when it comes to the technology you just mentioned causing inefficiencies. Is that just lack of human adaptation?
Well, yeah, what's interesting is that you would think we would have more productivity growth and more unlocked ability than ever before because of all these things. We can, you know, we can use Zoom, we can video chat, we can use Slack. We're in real time. We've got devices in our pockets that are stronger than the computers that took us to the moon. And yet productivity growth is totally stalled. And nobody really can say why. All these economists are scratching their heads. And I feel like I'm standing on a soapbox screaming, it's the bureaucracy. Like, that's why we can't get any of these benefits, is because, you know, the 15 layers of red tape wrapped around the handle in IT say we can't use the tools. And the bosses above us aren't letting us think and learn and grow in the way that we could. And so we're hampered, I think, by some of these models. And it's really out of a desire for control. It's out of a desire to predict and control the world around us. And what we know now from systems theory is that organizations and markets are complex systems. They're unpredictable. They're going to surprise us. They're going to change. And when you're dealing with something that's ever-changing, the correct response is to have a lot more test and learn, a lot more decentralization, a lot more sensors at the edge, figuring out what's going on and reacting in real time. You can't run it from the top of the pyramid.
Mm. Okay, so you said something there that kind of reminds me of, like, fixing around the edges. That's not what Brave New Work is about. This is a manual about how to get to the core of things, correct?
It is, yeah. I think it starts and ends at the edge, but it obviously touches everything. So the question I often ask teams is, what's stopping you from doing the best work of your life? And if you ask that question to the board and you ask that question to someone, you know, in a retail center in Oklahoma, you're going to get different answers, but both matter. And the reality is that they're interconnected in ways we can hardly imagine. So the desire to create organizations that function as machines, which is that old way of thinking, is creating, you know, tensions at the edge that we almost can't imagine. So one of the cases in the book I talk about is an auto parts manufacturer in France named Favi. And a new CEO had come in. He was on the floor. He saw someone waiting next to a cage area with a pink slip. He said, "What are you doing?" "I'm waiting for my new gloves." "Well, what do you have to do to get them?" "I have to tell my manager. He has to look at my gloves and inspect them. Then he gives me a permission slip. Then I leave my machine. I come over here. I wait. I turn it in. They go get the gloves from the back. They bring them out. And then I have new gloves." So the CEO says, "Well, what do the gloves cost?" "They're €5. "What does it cost for you to have a downtime on your machine for half an hour?" They end up calculating this, €5,000. So the reality is the guy at the edge is just frustrated because he is waiting for gloves and it seems like he's being treated like a child. And the CFO is frustrated because they're blowing $5,000 that they didn't need to blow because they overreacted to, you know, maybe somebody stole a pair of gloves, God forbid. Right. So I think that's what's happening is both parts of the organization.
And it's a growth risk, I hope, or growth opportunity. I was with a boutique consulting agency for a while, and our rule of thumb when we went in was if you don't get C-suite buy-in, there's really nowhere you can really go here. But what's the challenges that you see most often when you're trying to help a company reinvent?
I think there are a couple, but one of the most important is just making time. So we're so busy. We're in this growth at all costs kind of economic OS.
Right.
And we go from project to project, meeting to meeting. I mean, I had an executive team that had 45 hours a week on average of meetings on their calendars. So when you say, "I want you to stop and reflect or do a retrospective or ask what's serving you or reflect on what happened the last time and change the approach next time," there's a lot of resistance to that. And so we use this little phrase, "start by stopping," often as a way to begin to just say, rather than adding the new thing, rather than adding a new agile meeting or a new tool or a new whiz bang thing that everyone's excited about, what could you stop doing? So, you know, we're all very excited about the Marie Kondoization of our kitchens and garages and stuff. What about our organizations? What can we stop doing? What meetings could we turn off? What tools can we turn off? What moments can we leave space to think and to reflect and to be present in our own working lives? And you'll be amazed what comes from that. You know, an hour of downtime might be enough to have an epiphany about how to do a better approach to budgeting or improve the Monday meeting or change the way we communicate or connect with a colleague that you have a conflict with. So make space is actually the hardest thing. And it's the one that we advocate the most fervently for in the beginning.
Aaron, I guess my last question is kind of a macro one, and I don't want to come out of left field, but what if you mentioned high speed growth and breakneck speeds. What if we switched away from quarterlies and went to biannual reports or annual reports?
I think it's very interesting. I mean, one of the things I highlight in the book is Eric Ries's new long-term stock exchange concept, where the longer you hold a stock, the more vote you get. They're also playing with the frequency of reporting. They're playing with, you know, looking at longer timescales. So I think all that stuff is necessary to get away from a world where, I mean, gosh, since the 60s, we've gone from the average holding time of a stock being 8 years to it being 5 days. I mean, that can't be good for the long-term strategic health of an entity.
Right.
So I'm with you. I'm with you, man, 100%.
Aaron Dignan, author of Brave New Work, founder of The Ready. This has been my pleasure. It's a great book, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was Aaron Dignan, author of Brave New Work, Are You Ready to Reinvent Your Organization? He's also the founder of The Ready. It's an organization design and transformation firm that helps institutions and businesses like Johnson & Johnson, Charles Schwab, Kaplan, Microsoft, Lloyds Bank, Citibank, Edelman, and Airbnb, among others. The idea of decentralizing the workplace amid the evolution of automation is pulling some critical praise for Mr. Dignan. Coming up after the break, we have the author of a new book titled How to Be a Capitalist Without Any Capital, which intrigues me. So we talk to him. That's after the break, so please do stick around. This is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton.